Chapter 6. Be Everywhere. There is nothing more difficult to take in hand, more perilous to conduct, or more uncertain in its success than to take the lead in the introduction of a new order of things. Niccolo Machiavelli. One change always leaves the way open for the establishment of others. Niccolo Machiavelli. Everyone in this country knows more atheists than they think they know, but between those still in their proverbial closets and others using theist-approved substitute terms, atheists are viewed as a much smaller minority than we really are. This has to stop if we are to succeed in taking our rightful place in this country. If we intend to show America and the rest of the world that atheists are here, we must go beyond that with another truth. Atheists are everywhere. In nearly every neighborhood, every town, in every state, there are atheists. We are not a small minority who can be overlooked. We make up a major portion of this country, though we are only now making ourselves known. This ubiquity must be demonstrated. Since religion thrives where it can remain unquestioned, where it can demonize an outgroup to divert attention from its many weaknesses, we must, as a movement, penetrate the places where religion seems to have the tightest hold. Religion will try to stake out atheist-free zones to protect itself, but such zones don't exist. We are already everywhere. I'll set out some examples of this mentality, but I ask you, the listener, to understand this list is far from exhaustive. Everywhere religion has a stronghold, there are atheists who must proudly add their voices to the chorus. The Conservatives, CPAC. The extreme right wing gathers every year at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, led by Christians who today run conservatism. Sarah Palin and Newt Gingrich are among the mainstays, the heroes, and conservatives come from all over to hear about how gay marriage is attacking America, and yes, how Jesus wrote the Constitution. It's a hotbed of real Christianity. At least that's what Christianity would like you to think. Christianity wants to own conservatism, as it has for a few decades now, and it loves to give the impression that the two are inextricably linked. This linkage tells us that all conservatives are Christians, and most important, that conservatives need to court Christians, nearly to the exclusion of everyone else, thereby promoting Christianity's legitimacy via government endorsement. In effect, the religion of Christianity has successfully and permanently taken over half the political system, or so they want us to think. It's the perfect place for atheists to infiltrate, a closed, large group of people with the impression, but not the definition, that it is all religious. However, we all know that link isn't real. We all remember that conservatism used to be separate from Christianity. We all know that libertarians and fiscal conservatives exist, and they are often atheists, and most important, we can see these people are completely ignored by the larger conservative movement, ripe for rallying. Our first attempt at infiltration, note, not disruption, was to simply buy a table at the 2014 event in Washington, D.C., to make the statement that atheists exist in conservatism. We paid our fee, the check was cashed, and had special marketing materials made up for that event. Targeting our efforts, we were not there to spread atheism or to jar closeted atheists to come out to their friends or family, but rather to spread awareness of atheists already within the ranks of conservatism with the following points. 1. There are conservative atheists, and in fact, nearly half of the atheists think a small government is important, but only 20% of atheists call themselves conservative, meaning about 30% of atheists nationwide are good candidates for the conservative movement, but don't identify as such. 2. Those numbers can be reasonably extrapolated to say that tens of millions of registered atheist voters are not voting conservative, but otherwise might, if not for non-fiscal policy-related reasons, enough to swing an election. 3. To be socially conservative is not conservative at all. It's really a euphemism for theocracy, which runs directly counter to what conservatism stands for. How is marriage regulation, prayer in school, and laws against stem cell research small government? How are laws restricting death with dignity or abortion consistent with the platform of keeping government out of the lives of Americans? They're not. They are the antithesis of true conservatism and go against atheist ideals as well. 4. The social, i.e. theocratic, side of today's Republican Party is pushing away the atheist votes needed for real fiscal conservatives to win elections. That's it. Nothing offensive by any means. Only good old-fashioned awareness-raising facts we hoped would spur discussion among the rank and file of American conservatism. But our facts, as facts do, scare the hell out of the Christian right, and when they heard of our intentions, they made up a reason to refund our money and refuse our table. The reason they gave? We're too aggressive. Why? Because I said in an interview that the religious right should fear atheist infiltration into CPAC because we threaten their stranglehold on conservatism. So some CPAC organizers asserted, people of any faith tradition should not be attacked for their beliefs, as if we'd attacked people. Anyway, having lost our table, I decided a little hardline atheist activism was in order, so I bought a ticket, donned a firebrand atheist t-shirt, adorned myself with atheist buttons, and went to the conference. I did not go to listen to any speeches, but rather to give out flyers to anyone who would take them. I wanted to show attendees that at least one atheist was at CPAC. I would soon find out there were hundreds. At one point early on, I stood outside the main ballroom where Sarah Palin was speaking and waited for the capacity crowd of 10,000 conservatives to pile out. This was intimidating and scary, watching thousands of motivated conservatives piling out of an auditorium and down a hall, with me standing in the middle of the hall waiting to hand out atheist flyers. See figure 14 in the bonus PDF. My heart was pumping and my adrenaline flowed. Why are the atheists at CPAC? What are the atheists doing here? Conservative atheists, find out more. Those were the phrases I proclaimed, not too loudly, as the crowd began to envelop me. And then something amazing happened. They turned around, came back, and took the flyers. More and more, people came and took my literature and thanked me for being there. Yes, I had a few stereotypical conversations about hell and the like, but surprisingly, I found a lot of supporters, and even more surprisingly, a lot of atheists. Libertarians, and Randians, and many others came over to tell me how wonderful it was that I was there just to push atheism awareness. Atheists came out of the woodwork to take my buttons and wear them. Several atheists came out to me and to the friends that they were with. And guess what? Their friends did not freak out in the least. And even the Christians I met supported the idea that atheists ought to be able to buy a table. The press was all over me. In interview after interview, I talked about conservative atheists. Discussion ensued. People called in to comment, usually positively. Here is the most interesting part. Most of the people I met strongly disagreed with the management of CPAC on so many issues that it had become a joke among the participants. It appears that the decision makers do not remotely speak for the attendees, many of whom were not religious nuts. They are openly just waiting for the old guard to die out so new, more reasonable people can reclaim the grand old party. Think about that. Now, it seems quite reasonable that the Christian right should fear atheist infiltration into the conservative ranks because their hold on said ranks seem to be tenuously based on the authority of old people with younger, more secular members ready to take over. If we keep up this pressure, which was in this case instituted primarily by one small team, we could potentially undermine and outlast Christian domination of the conservative wing of American politics. Big words, big goal, but one that I believe is achievable. Because we went where we weren't expecting to find support, we learned this goal is plausible, that we already have a support base, and our message has resonance. Furthermore, if we are successful in separating Christianity from conservatism, we, the good guys, will win in a big picture way. Conservatism will no longer represent a threat to the separation of religion and government. See why fundamentalist Christianity's fear is warranted? If conservatism reverts back to the pre-moral majority era when it lived just fine without Christian dogma in its platform, most of our problems will wither away. We wouldn't know this was possible if we'd listened to what religion wants us to hear, that conservatism is Christian, and stayed out of CPAC. Atheists are everywhere, including within conservative ranks. And by going where we weren't wanted, we proved it's even more prevalent than we, any of us, thought. That proof, as we had hoped, led to progress. In 2015, organized atheism was granted its first presence at CPAC, booth and all. And we even had an atheist activist, American Atheists board member Jamila Bey, on stage speaking as an atheist. Overton window shifted again. The strategy worked perfectly, and atheists are out, loud, and proud inside conservatism. See you next year, CPAC. Side note to conservative atheists. I hope this section spurs you to shout out your atheism loud and proud at conservative events. It's scary, I know. As you can see, I've been there. But it's so important that we penetrate conservatism with awareness that atheists are already in its ranks, and it's as easy as wearing an atheist t-shirt and smiling a lot when people talk to you about it. I found it a very positive experience and an opportunity for much-needed atheist activism. The progressives. Being everywhere also includes being where we are wanted or expected, but not prominent. For example, under my leadership, American Atheists has begun attending and speaking at liberal events where one would expect to find atheists, but where, oddly, there was, before us, no organized atheist presence at all. For instance, we were the first atheists to have an official presence at Creating Change in 2014, one of the largest LGBTQ events, which was so popular, multiple organizations followed in our footsteps and purchased tables at subsequent events. We are loud and proud supporters of the LGBTQ movement because LGBTQ equality is mainly an issue of the separation of religion and government. I'm happy to say our allegiance was welcomed with open arms, so much so that we are arranging for atheist panels at the next event. Another good example of where an atheist presence was missing is Netroots Nation, the large progressive technology event, where once again we were the first atheist organization to have a table specifically as atheists promoting atheism. To say we were welcomed and well-received is an understatement. The majority opinion was that it was about time the atheists showed up. People were relieved we were finally there. Many attendees came to our booth to sign up and to get my autograph. I'm still not used to that. The National Organization for Women, NOW, conference also welcomed us, first inviting us to set up a table and then asking us on stage. I was able to send loud and proud women atheists, including Amanda Kniff, who was instrumental in the development of this effort, to NOW to underscore our combined fight against the religiously backed patriarchy that advocates second-class citizenship for half of our population based on their misogynistic mythology. Although some of the more religious attendees did not like our message, that was to be expected. We can justify our positions. You can do that when you're completely right. And the majority of NOW attendees clearly agreed with our assertion. Religion is one of the main barriers to women's equality in the United States and elsewhere. These are examples of where atheism is and should be, but was not obviously present before the firebrands went there. While the conservatives and the progressives differed in their reactions to us, I'd like to point out some similarities. In all cases, 1, we met many atheists, indeed, many more than we expected. 2, we found many theistic people who supported our presence. 3, we encountered no violence or outright hostility. Even at CPAC, the most virulent opposition never raised a hand and only moderately raised a voice. 4. We added substantially to the conversation, bringing the atheist argument where it had not been. Nobody who goes to any of those events thinks that there are no atheists there anymore, and indeed, many now understand we are plentiful. 5. The atheist argument was positioned to further the plans of the listener organization. Even at CPAC, atheism was positioned, honestly, to show that by embracing atheists, conservatives would benefit. 6. Other organizations from the secular movement are following suit. 7. We made members and friends. 8. The experience was generally positive. Religion craves dominance and despises anything that remotely resembles competition or criticism. As in war, religion finds strongholds in society from which to gain support and prepare to launch attacks on other targets. As in war, strongholds are a major part of eventual domination and conquest. As in war, such strongholds must be conquered or destroyed. The conservative movement is an excellent example of such a stronghold, and attending CPAC and making our presence known and garnering support because a lot of quiet atheists are within the conservative ranks is a major blow to the perceived ubiquity and dominance religion has on the right-wing side of politics. What will happen if those quiet atheists are roused by our presence? What if we can motivate them to be more vocal about the theocratic side of their movement? That would be a major blow on behalf of the good guys, as it would eliminate one of religion's most prominent strongholds. Being everywhere also includes defensive moves. The theocrats have successfully begun to infiltrate the left, as they did the right, and it is up to us to put up a fight, beat them back, and shore up the left as a stronghold for atheism. This is doable, since behind all the politics and political correctness, many progressives have moved beyond religion, mainly because they are used to fighting religion from the political right. So where we already exist as a force, or in the cases of now creating change in Netroots Nation, where we were absent but acceptance was expected, it behooves us to expect religion to attempt to infiltrate our perceived strongholds even as we build our presence. Again, these are just examples. This has to happen everywhere. Attacking religious ubiquity is attacking privilege. This is why I wholeheartedly endorse atheists participating in as many interfaith events as possible. Excluding ourselves from these events separates us from society, creates and preserves atheist-free zones, and in turn preserves inequality. This is also why I support atheist chaplains in the military. If religion is there providing religious guidance to theists, atheists should have chaplains to provide godless guidance, because equality. You should consider any place you don't see atheists as one of those religious strongholds and infiltrate. Where there are no atheists, atheists should go, loudly and proudly, for the good of the country and its citizenry. If no atheists are in your local government or your local school board or even in your circle of friends, assume it's a stronghold for religion and treat it as such. This goes for almost any situation because religion wants to be exclusive everywhere.